How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Oh, you guys are still sleeping. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? All right, amen. You know, it brings me a lot of pride, joy, and peace to know that when I get called out for whatever emergency or when something happens, I know that the Lord has provided us with great, incredible caliber people like Sam Sheriff. Come on, somebody. That could make sure, yeah, we love you, Sam. That could make sure they hold down the fort and that God still moves and he still heals and he still restores and he still speaks, whether I'm up on this platform or it's somebody else that he's gifted and anointed and called. And so thank you, Sam. Thank you, team, for holding it down. Today, we're going to be starting a brand new series called, everybody say with me, How to Pray When. Come on, somebody, say, How to Pray When. How to pray when you're feeling anxious. How to pray when you're feeling doubt. How to pray when you feel like you're in your waiting period. Because here's the honest to God truth. I think in the church, we know how important prayer is. And sometimes prayer feels easy, and it feels like we know what to say, we know how to come to God, we know the words that we want to share with God, we have our petitions and requests on a list, and we know what to do, what to say, when to do it, how to do it, but there's times where honestly, if we're honest, we know that it feels impossible to do. And no matter how important we know it is, because we do know that it matters. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. We know that Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving in your hearts. We know that it continues, and he says in, what verse is that? I'm lost. 1 Thessalonians. My notes aren't working right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for look at this, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That God's will for your life is that you would live a life of joy, live a life of prayer, and have thanksgiving in your hearts. And we even know that there are people in the Bible who have struggled with this. We have so many examples that are given to us. Examples like David, who said, when my anxiety was great within me, your consolations comforted me. We have examples like Elijah. Elijah said, God, I've had enough. We have examples like Jesus, who found himself in a place in the garden where he was full of grief and full of despair, and he was praying to the Father, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass over me, but nevertheless, your will be done. And the reason why it's important that we talk about this is because there's moments where prayer comes easy to us, but then the reality is that there's moments where prayer is not so easy, where prayer is difficult, and we know how much it matters. We know that prayer works. We know that sometimes there are moments where everything's going Gucci, right? But sometimes there's moments when we don't even know how to start praying. We don't even know where to begin. Moments when prayer doesn't come naturally to us. Moments where prayer isn't just a first response, but it's not even our last resort. Moments where our faith is tested. Moments where we need God the most, but often feel him the least. I want to talk over the next month about how to pray when. Look at your neighbor and say, how to pray when. How to pray when. I want you to know how to pray when you're waiting. Anybody ever been there? You're waiting for God to move. You're waiting for God to speak. You're waiting for God to give you some direction. You're waiting for God to do a miracle. You're waiting for God to do something supernatural. How about moments when you're trying to figure out how to pray when you're hurting, when you're so full of grief and so full of pain and bitterness in your heart, and you're dealing with the tears more than you are the blessings? I want to talk about how to pray when you don't even know what to say. Because that's very real in all of our lives. Here's the good news. I want you to know this. As we go through this sermon series, here's what I want you to understand. God doesn't just simply invite us to pray when life is calm. The Bible actually teaches us to pray when life is chaotic. I said, God doesn't just invite us to pray when life is calm. He teaches us to pray when life is chaotic. And so today we're going to start with this idea of how to pray when we're feeling anxious. Everybody say anxious. How to pray when we're feeling anxious. You ever been so anxious that even praying felt difficult for you? You ever been so full of anxiety that you wanted to pray, but your thoughts were racing and your heart was pounding and your mind was consumed with all the what ifs. And it's like you lose sleep because your mind won't stop working. And you're running through all of the things that could possibly go wrong. The bills don't get paid. The SNAP expires, so I don't know how I'm going to get the groceries. The test results come back and you don't know if they're going to come back negative or if they're going to come back positive. You don't know how the relationship is going to end, whether it's going to continue to be a blessing or whether it's going to end really sour. You find yourself where you lose sleep because you have no idea what the future holds. And quite frankly, it feels hopeless, it feels desperate, it feels scary, and it's produced this anxiety in your heart. But listen to me, even though you know God is in control, oftentimes it feels like your heart is just continuing to spin out of control. Like we want to trust God, but anxiety has this way of drowning out our faith. And sometimes we even feel guilty and we beat ourselves up because it's as if like the faithful can't struggle with this anxiety within us. It's as if somehow you're more spiritual if you think that you have this idea figured out where you don't feel anxious, you don't feel afraid, you don't feel concerned, and all you can think about is how blessed and highly favored you are. Can I just help you this morning for a second? Anxiety does not make you a bad Christian. Anxiety makes you human. Anxiety does not make you a bad Christian. It only makes you human. Like, I need you to know that and understand that and believe that the good news for every believer is that God knows exactly how to deal with all of the anxiety if you would just learn to bring it to Him. He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of your fears. He's not afraid of your anxious thoughts. Hear me. We all face anxiety in some way, shape, or form. I could tell you as a young man that was abused very early on in my life, I have struggled with this very concept in my life where I have no idea oftentimes how to break past this barrier of being able to trust people, let alone trust anyone. Like, I've had crippling anxiety in my life, and hear me, it looks different for all of us. For some of us, it's the pressure to provide. For some of us, it's the fear of what's next. For others, it's the weight of something getting out of control. It may look different for everyone, but it always feels the same. It feels heavy. It feels like it's consuming. It feels confusing. It feels like it steals all of your peace and all of your joy. But what we find in the Bible is people who battled with anxiety and were not afraid to be honest about it with Jesus. Like David found himself in a place where he wrote in Psalms chapter 94, verse 19, "When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul." In the NIV, it says, when the anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Like, you really need to know that you're not alone in this. And here's why I say it, because I know that the enemy has whispered in so many of our ears, like that there's no hope for you, that there's no help for you, that there's no way that you could ever overcome these feelings and these thoughts, but you don't have to stay there. The beauty of being a believer is that God gives us a way to bring all of our anxious thoughts into his presence, and it's through prayer. Prayer changes everything. In fact, the Bible teaches us that prayer is the pathway that leads us from peace or from anxiety to peace. Prayer is the pathway that leads us from anxiety to peace. I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. 6-7. God's the original 6-7er, amen? 6-7, all right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, 6-7. All right, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace, everybody say the peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's what I need us to understand. This verse is not a cliche. This verse is not just meant to be something that we throw out there as believers trying to compensate for having a lack of faith. This verse is actually a roadmap for what it looks like to be somebody who struggles with anxiety, but learns how to deal with it through prayer. And it gives us an example of how to get to this place where we can deal with anxiety and still have peace. Just to give you some context, here's what's happening, okay? Paul, at this moment in his life, finds himself in a prison where he finds himself accused, abused, persecuted, prosecuted. His present is so bad that he could have been full of fear, and his future could have been full of uncertainty. And it's in this place where Paul writes this letter to the Philippians about how to have joy in every situation. And he writes things like, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. He talks about how to have joy at all times. He talks about how to live content in your life, whether you find yourself with plenty or you find yourself with little. And there was nobody who could write about this in this time better than Paul, who was whipped, who was beaten, who was persecuted, who find himself in the middle of a prison cell right now, penning a letter to people who find themselves in freedom, telling them, yo, you've got to be full of joy. You've got to be content with your life. And towards the end of this letter is when he writes this, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your hearts, let your requests be made known unto God. How is it that somebody could be writing about peace while being surrounded by so much turmoil? It's because Paul could teach the church how to pray because he was a person of prayer. And he needs us to understand, like, yo, prayer changes things. Like, prayer actually works. Prayer is so vital for everything that you're feeling right now and everything that you're going through right now. So when Paul says, don't be anxious, he's not speaking as someone whose life was easy, because it's easy for us to do that, to go, yeah, but Paul doesn't understand what I was going through. No, you don't understand what Paul was going through when he was writing this. And it wasn't that he couldn't make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every time he wanted to. Like, his life was literally on the line. It wasn't that he couldn't buy the car he wanted to buy. It's that his life was literally in the hands of an enemy that wanted to kill him. And in the midst of all that, he says, yo, you can have peace and not be consumed by anxiety. What he's saying is, I've learned how to handle my anxiety in a way that leads to peace. And so I want us to unpack this passage, because this passage teaches us exactly how to pray when anxiety tries to consume us. And so the first thing that we see Paul teaches us is like, yo, you can actually pray about everything. You could pray about everything. There's not a prayer that's too big. There's not a prayer too small. There's not a prayer too impossible. There's not a prayer, like my wife, I would make fun of her all the time, because during the holidays when we were dating, she'd be driving and we'd pull up to like Value City when Value City was a thing, remember? showing my age, right? Like when JCPenney was still a thing, we'd pull up to the mall and she'd be like, Lord, I pray that you would give me parking favor right now. And I'd be like, woman, you're nuts. Like, that's such a stupid prayer. Don't waste God's time with that. She'd look at me and be like, Jose, God cares about everything. Now, we laugh about that, but the honest to God truth is that he really does. That there's nothing outside of the parameter of what we can bring to him. And so Paul literally writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. The word in the original language literally means everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What Paul is basically saying is like, yo, I want you to understand, and I want you to know that you don't have to allow anxiety to consume you, because there's nothing that you can't bring to God. There's nothing you can't bring into his presence. There's nothing that he can't handle for you. Like, our God is so great and so magnificent and so beyond our comprehension that there's nothing he can't handle in your life. So what you need to do is to panic about nothing and pray about everything. What would happen in our life is if our first response was not to panic, but instead it was to pray. Because you don't have to allow anxiety to send you into this spiral. You don't have to allow anxiety to send you into this panic. I pray that it would allow you to let you send yourself and send you into the presence of God, where nothing is off limits. Nothing. What's ailing your heart? What's consuming your thoughts? What's causing you to lose your peace? Yo, bring it all into the presence of God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I really wish that you would truly believe that nothing's too big, nothing's too small, nothing's too impossible, and the fact that it might be overwhelming to you, but there's nothing in this world that could overwhelm our God. And so he says, you could pray about everything. You don't have to be anxious about anything, because you could bring everything through prayer and supplication to our God, which means that you can not only pray about everything, but he actually says you could let your request be made known to God. If I could define prayer in any way, I would define it this way. Prayer is simply personal, ongoing communication with God. That's it. Like, you're driving through your car, or you're driving through Vineland, Millville, Egg Harbor, wherever, and you're driving in your car, and you're just having a conversation between you and the Lord. Lord, I'm about to go to work, and like that one coworker, I swear, God, if you don't do something, I might punch him in the throat. You laugh. I've made those prayers. God, either you deal with them or I will. I've prayed it over some of you. No, I'm kidding. Let me stop. I'm kidding. Kind of. But prayer
is this ongoing communication with God. Supplication is a little different because supplication is making specific requests to God. Like what God is saying is that you can literally bring anything and everything, but not only that, you could be as honest, as real, and as specifically as you possibly can. Like, be honest with God. Be honest about your anxiety. Be honest with God about what's troubling you with you. Be honest with God about how and why it's troubling your soul. Like, I know sometimes it genuinely feels like we're afraid to be real with God. Like it's as if denying the reality of what's going on in our hearts makes you more spiritual. You ever met people like that? Like, literally, God said, like Paul says, yo, you don't have to pretend that you're not anxious. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is bring it to God. Bring it to God. Because God isn't asking us to pretend. He's daring us to be real and vulnerable. Like, what would happen if you're in your life, if you would stop not only pretending with yourself, but like you stop pretending with God? Like, I probably should have asked Sam this, but I'm sure he'll be okay with it. We'll find out. I remember this, and because you've talked about this a little bit. When Sam first found out about his diagnosis with Summit, you remember this conversation? He said one of the, he was saying, like, honestly, Jose, I don't know. Like, I'm honest with God, and he said, and I've told God, like, God, I love you. I don't doubt you. I don't doubt your goodness and your faithfulness, but I'm going to need a minute. I genuinely wonder what all of our lives would look like if we could walk with that honesty. Because if you really read your Bible, the Bible is riddled with people going, God, I love you, but I'm gonna need a minute. I'm gonna need a minute. I'm gonna need a minute because you've crushed my soul. I'm going to need a minute because it feels like you've broken all of my bones. I'm going to need a minute because, like, you've led me into the darkest parts of my life. These are real prayers that we find in the Bible. So what you're going through is not a surprise to God. Like, you don't have to pretend that you've got it all together and you've got it all figured out and that you're more holy. Like, I genuinely, listen to me, even as a pastor, when I hear somebody say to me, I'm too blessed to be stressed, I want to slap them in the face. Like, can you tell me how to be that way? Because I feel like I'm more stressed than blessed right now. Or when I'm talking to people and I'm like, yo, how's your marriage? And they're looking at me going, oh, we're blessed and highly favored. That, if I'm being honest with you, like, listen, like, there's opportunity for going, you know what? I'm not going to look at my circumstances and be identified by what's going on in my life. But there's a permission that we have to allow in our humanity to go, yo, like, I know I'm blessed, but I don't really feel like it right now. Like, I know that God is good. I know that God is faithful. I know there's nothing impossible for him. I know that he has all of the strength that I need in my weakness. I know that all of my rest that I need in the anxiety that I feel is found in his presence. But if I'm being honest with you, life doesn't feel so good right now. My marriage is struggling. My kids are a hot mess. I'm dealing with this sickness. I've got to go to doctor after doctor after doctor, and stuff doesn't feel so good right now, but I'm trying to hold on. Like, stop trying to sanitize your emotions to God. Stop trying to polish up your life and to polish up your prayers and to bring stuff that you've rehearsed in your life over and over and over and over again so that now every time you come to God, that's why it feels like a ritual. Look, God can't heal what you won't reveal. He can't heal what you won't reveal. Psalms chapter 62, verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, O people, and pour out your heart before him. For God is a refuge for us. That means that you can literally come to God and pray, God, I'm scared. God, I'm angry. God, I don't know what to do. God, I feel like everything's falling apart and I feel like I'm losing all control. And the great news is he can handle it. Like, he'd rather hear your honest cry than your fake composure. I think one thing we need to understand about prayer is that prayer is not only how we vent to God, but it's how we invite him into our every aspect of our lives. Prayer is not only how we vent to God. It's how we invite him into every aspect of our lives. When you open up to God in prayer, you're not just venting, you're inviting him in. You're inviting God's comfort into the very space that is consuming your life. You're inviting God in, so don't hold on to any of it. And don't hold any of it in. Listen, Paul says, pray about everything. Pray honestly. Pray specifically. But he also says, praise intentionally. Remember that Paul didn't just say, with prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. He actually said, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That means that what Paul is saying is you bring your requests with gratitude, with thanksgiving in your heart. It's interesting that he's telling us to have this thanksgiving and to thank God in a moment where we're not going to feel like thanking God. And that's because thanksgiving in the Greek is eucharistia, which means it's actively grateful language to God as an act of worship. Eucharistia, actively grateful language to God as an act of worship. And I believe the reason why Paul instructs us to do this is because it's not something that we would feel naturally within us in the moment. But at some point, we need to get to a point where we stop allowing worry to consume our worship. Where we stop allowing worry to overwhelm our praise. Where we stop allowing the things that are surrounding us in our lives and are causing us to lose so much peace to silence our worship and to silence our praise. Listen, you could be going through very difficult things in your life and still declare that God is good. You could be going through very difficult things in your life and still declare that God is worthy of all the praise, of all the worship, of all the glory, of all the honor, of all the adoration, because he really, truly is. And the reason why Paul asks us to do this is because thanksgiving shifts our focus. You see, anxiety focuses on what might go wrong. But gratitude focuses on what God has already done. And so the real question is, which one will you allow to consume your life? It's not that you don't feel anxiety. It's that you overcome it by being grateful. And by saying, God, I know things don't look so great right now, but I still trust you. God, I know that I feel weak, but I know that you are the source of my strength. God, I know that peace is overwhelming, or that anxiety is overwhelming me, but I know that the thing that can overwhelm my anxiety is your peace. Like when you start thanking him, something happens inside of you. Like it causes you to remember that God, if you carried me before, I know that you're going to carry me now. That if you've given me strength in the past, that I know that my weakness is not too much for you to handle. That if you feel like you didn't know where to go, you know that when you look past in the back of like 15, 10, 20, what was it, 23 years? You think I'd ever find myself standing here when I didn't even know where I was going to live? But I can look back on my life and say, you know what? He provided a shelter. Not only did he provide a shelter, he provided a family. Not only did he provide a family, he provided the resources for that family to be a resource unto me. So if he did it before, I know you could do it again. That's why I will not allow. Listen, I might feel anxious, but anxious will not become my identity because I know the identity of the one who saves me, who delivers me, who provides for me, who gives me the strength that I need, the joy that I need, the endurance that I need to continue to press forward in my life. Anxiety does not have to overwhelm me because I'm overwhelmed by the peace of God. And as you thank him, as you set your focus on him, the Bible says that that's when peace starts to rise. Listen to me, not because the storm stops, but because you know who's in the boat with you. Notice that nowhere does Paul say in this verse, everything changes. Because what we would like Paul to say is that when you pray to God, everything in your life changes and everything gets better and the rain stops falling and the wind stops blowing and the floods stop growing. That's what we would want Paul to say. Like when you start praying to God, everything in your marriage changes. When you start praying to God, your children are finally going to start acting right. When you start praying to God, your sickness is going to be healed. All of those things are possible, but they are not always true. And can you have peace with God even if none of that happens? Paul says you can, because he never gives you a solution to your problem. He never says everything about your situation will change. What he does say is everything within you will change. That all of a sudden peace starts to rise up. That as you're giving thanks unto God, this peace that surpasses all understanding allows you to proceed peacefully. And I think our lives would be a whole lot better if we could get to the point where we trust God's peace to do what our minds can't. Look what he says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That is not a you thing. That's a him thing. Your mind is not guarded by your peace or your ability to answer questions or your ability to take care of difficult tasks. Your guard and your minds are guarded by a peace that does not come from you. It comes from him. And as you're praying and everything, you're praying honestly, you're praying specifically, you're praying with praise in your mouth. Gratitude is allowing this peace to rise up within you that is not your own peace. It's found in the presence of God. That when you pray honestly and you pray with gratitude, Paul says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your mind. That word guard is a military term, which means to stand watch, to protect from invasion. That the peace of God stands guard at your heart and at your mind from allowing anxiety to invade your life, from allowing concern and fear and doubts and sorrow and bitterness and offense to consume your mind and your heart. The peace of God, the peace of Christ, literally standing outside of the door of your mind and your heart keeping worry out and peace in. That's what Paul's talking about. Now notice that Paul doesn't say the peace of God will change or the peace of God will explain everything to you. It actually says it's a peace that doesn't make sense. It surpasses all of your understanding. Like we heard a testimony. I don't know if she's in the room right now, but we heard a testimony last week of the woman who rang her last bell, Judy, who rang her last bell for her chemo and is cancer-free. Now listen to me. Could she have peace in the midst of the cancer? What do you think got her there? Paul says, listen, it's not that when you pray, everything gets explained. It means that you get a peace that you cannot understand. It doesn't make sense to you. Because peace doesn't always come from answers, it comes from presence. It doesn't make sense because it's supernatural. It's a peace that cannot be overwhelmed. It doesn't come from this world. It cannot come from our own being. And it is not temporary or fleeting like the world's peace is. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Listen to me. You have a choice. Oh, but you don't know what I'm... No, you have a choice. And that choice is you bring it to God and you trust him with it, or you try to find your own peace your way, and I promise you won't be able to do it. See, what we're talking about is a peace that comes from God. And listen, this peace is not a novelty to be obtained. It's a person to live with. Now, I have to say that. Because if you notice what Paul is saying, at the very end, he gives us a boundary line for this peace. And he says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Listen to me. You do not have peace. You do not have the peace of God without the presence of Jesus. Now, I have to say that because I want to make it very clear. And some of you might not like this. But this peace is only promised for those who are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, meaning you are not a believer, you are not submitted unto him, you don't believe in him, you have not surrendered in him, he is not covenantally obligated to meet your need of peace. This is a possibility for everyone, but it is only a promise to those who are in him. So the question then becomes, could the possibility of you not feeling peace when you pray be because you are not actually in Christ? Now, I can't answer that question for you. What I could tell you is that the book of Isaiah is very clear that it is sin that separates us from God and makes it so that he does not hear our prayers. It's the book of Proverbs that lets us know that God resists the wicked, but he hears the humble and the righteous. That's not me trying to judge you or condemn you. I'm just letting you know that while the promise of God is inclusive, it is also exclusive, meaning that it is available to everyone, but not everyone gets to obtain it as long as they are not in Christ. But if they are in Christ, you could have every ounce of peace in your life. that is available to you. But the reality of the question that you have to ask is, am I truly in Christ? And if you're honest, you might actually be able to answer that question honestly and say, no, I've never submitted unto him. I've never surrendered to him. I never put my faith in him. Listen to me. You don't get the peace of God without the person and presence of Jesus. And the reason why you feel so much sorrow and anxiety might be because the world's peace is what you have and not the peace of God. You see, the world's peace depends on the absence of truth and of absence of trouble. But God's peace depends on the presence of God. Outside of Christ, we're exposed to anxiety, we're exposed to fear, we're exposed to condemnation, but in Christ, we live within a protected zone of divine and supernatural peace, guarded by his presence and in his power. So it's in Christ, that word in Christ marks the boundary line of protection. It's the peace of God. And that peace of God doesn't guard just anyone's heart. It guards those who belong to him. So the question I have is, do you belong to him? Like, when you pray, you're not just sending words into the air. You're inviting the Prince of Peace to stand guard over your heart. But if you do not have a relationship with that prince, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can't receive the peace that he has all to offer you. So what do we do with this anxiety? How do we actually pray when anxiety hits? Let me make this practical for you. The next time you feel that wave of worry coming on you, just pause. Pray. Don't react. Respond. Take a deep breath. And remember what Paul says in verse 6, right before verse 6, verse 5. He says, the Lord is near. That means you're not alone. And because you're not alone, you could pray honestly and you could pray specifically, and you don't have to sugarcoat anything with God. You can actually bring everything unto him. You could tell him exactly what's bothering you, and you can name that thing very specifically. It's this relationship. It's my issues with my mom. It's my issues with my dad. It's the way I've been abused. It's the uncertainty of my future. It's the fact that I don't know how we're going to be able to buy groceries tomorrow, but I know that you're going to be able to provide. You could pray specifically and you could pray honestly, but you could also, in the midst of all of that, pray intentionally, praise intentionally, and thank him for everything, something, anything in your life. Because listen to me. Gratitude is the language that breaks the grip of anxiety over your life. Gratitude is the language that breaks the grips of anxiety over life. Once you lay it down at his feet, he'll let his peace overwhelm you so that you can proceed peacefully in him. And it might not make sense to everyone, but it makes sense to him. And you could leave it with him. And don't keep picking it up and taking it back up. No, like, you lay it down at his feet and you trust him. You trust that his presence and his peace protect you. And they protect your heart and they protect your mind in every situation, because prayer doesn't always change your circumstances, but it always changes you. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen to me. I want you to imagine what would happen if we actually lived like this. Like, if we depended and trusted in God, and if every time we felt this anxiety come up upon us,
instead of it driving us to social media, instead of us driving us to scrolling, instead of driving us to panic, we actually allowed it to drive us to pray and to seek His face. That instead of scrolling for comfort, we'd actually start seeking the Comforter. That instead of spiraling in fear, we actually allowed it to cause us to stand in faith. Listen to me. That's what Paul means when he talks about having the peace of God that will guard our hearts. He means that that the peace of God isn't just something that visits us. It's something that stands guard within us. But you don't have that peace unless you surrender your life to Jesus. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Christ our Lord. That's an invitation for you today to stop allowing anxiety to consume you, and to stop carrying what He already died to carry, and to let Him trade your anxiety for His peace. And if that's you, you're saying, I want to lay everything down at His feet. I want to walk with Him. I want Him to walk with me. I need Him to stand guard in my heart. I want you to lift your hands right where you are and say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to give Him everything. I'm going to choose to walk away from my own desires and my own pleasures. Come on, lift your hand nice and high where we can see it. There's nothing to be ashamed about it at all. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm tired of carrying this anxiety. I'm tired of carrying this all on my own. I want to put my trust in You today. I believe You died for my sins. I believe that You rose again and that I could have peace with God. Lord, right now I ask that You would take my life and receive it. Cleanse me with Your blood. Make me new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.